Oh, Lord, and we thank you for your mercy on us, Lord. When we pray, Lord, have mercy. May we receive that mercy, and may that mercy flow through us, Lord, into the world around us, Lord, to people that need to hear about the mercy of God, to see the mercy of God in our lives. And Lord, just thank you for your word of God, and may I be used by your Holy Spirit to speak the word of God to us today. Thank you, Lord, your power is made perfect in our weakness. Lord, use me in my weakness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Some of you who have heard my testimony might remember that my dad was grooming me to take over this moving company. My grandfather had started it, and it had grown to be the largest moving company in Pittsburgh. And so when God was calling me into the ministry, and I told my dad, "Dad, I'm not going to take over the business. I'm going to go to seminary." He was understandably disappointed. And he said, "Well, it just means I'm going to cut you off financially." And so it was a little rough in seminary. I worked two or three jobs. And I remember one time I had a $3 a day food budget. But God worked all that together for good in my life. So it was all good happened out of that. But I was not familiar with all the kind of hoops you had to jump through for ordination. And so I don't think the bishop was very happy with me the first time I went to see him near the end of my seminary. And anyway, I went to see him, and we had a nice conversation. But he said something that could have been very disturbing to me, given my financial situation. He said, "Marty, I don't think at the end, when you graduate from seminary, I don't think there'll be a job for you." And as soon as he said that, the Lord whispered to me, "I have not brought you this far to drop you now. I've not brought you this far to drop you now." And really, it didn't. And I had a wonderful job. I was the first full-time youth advisor for the Diocese of Pittsburgh. So very thankful. It was just a great job for me. And so after I graduated, I was ordained in a beautiful cathedral in Pittsburgh, full cathedral. And one of my presenters was my grandmother, and my Roman Catholic grandmother. When I was little, she taught me, she would talk about the Lord with me. One of the things I remember, she would say, "Love makes the world go round, and God is love." And so she just taught me about the Lord. Can God use grandparents to touch grandchildren spiritually? So just encourage you, to minister to your grandchildren. But anyway, so she was one of my presenters, and they asked this question: "Will you uphold him in his ministry?" And I heard her, "We will," above everybody else in the cathedral. So that was a blessing. And I remember my dad was there, and I had to go way out into the cathedral to greet him. He had tears in his eyes, and we hugged. But then I remember my grandmother coming to the reception, opening up her purse on the cookie table, sliding some cookies right into her purse, and taking them home. So God even uses imperfect grandmothers to minister to grandchildren. So part of my job description as youth advisor was to be the chaplain at our camp up on Lake Erie. And so I drove up to this camp, and I met my boss. My boss was younger than I was. I was young, and my boss was just starting seminary. And so I'm ready for my first assignment, from my boss. And so I'm thinking Bible study, organize a chapel service, minister to a staff person, lead a prayer meeting. And so, 3 years in seminary, I'm ready to change my world for Jesus. Change my world for Jesus. All this preparation, ready to go. What's my first assignment? And my boss, Jack, said, "Why don't you pull those weeds around the dining hall?" Pull the weeds around the dining. I didn't say that. That's what I thought inside. My dad used to make me pull weeds. If there's a purgatory for me, it would be pulling weeds. And so as I started to pull the weeds around the dining hall, it started to become a spiritual exercise. And I started pulling the weeds of my pride. Pulling the weeds of my pride. That's a lifelong process, isn't it? Theologians say that pride is the root of all sin. All sin. Somebody doesn't think they struggle with pride, they're probably the more unconscious victim of pride. Do you struggle with pride? Do you have some roots of pride that need to be pulled out? Do you know what they are? That's part of Lent, isn't it? Taking that time to say, okay, where's some of the pride that needs to be pulled out of my life? Listen to it. God says God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. That's pretty strong, isn't it? God opposes the proud. And then another translation says, God is against the proud. Why has God such strong feelings about pride in people? Does pride destroy lives? What's the reason most people are going to go to hell? How about marriages, families, businesses? Pride is so destructive. Now, one of the gifts, and I don't think I appreciate this enough, one of the gifts that Jesus gave to us through his life and death was the gift of humility. The gift of humility. Jesus showed us that humility is required to know and obey God. Where does our walk with God begin? Doesn't it begin with humility? I need God. I need a Savior. And then don't we grow because of humility? I need to be in his word. I need to be in worship. I need to be in fellowship. I need to receive the grace that comes with the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion. It's humble enough to say, I need it. Not like, well, I don't need those things. I'm okay. I know it all. It's this humility is what helps us grow in the Lord. To worship him, to know him, to walk with him. I think of that passage in Micah. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Now I want to look at the baptism of Jesus. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. That's about 35 miles away. We don't know exactly where Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, so approximately 35 miles. That's 35 miles is a long way to walk, isn't it? So you think this was just kind of an accidental moment? Don't you think it was very intentional? Jesus went to the Galilee to be baptized by John in the Jordan. So what's the first thing? The title of the sermon is Willingness to Receive. What's the first thing Jesus is receiving right here? Baptism, right? He's receiving baptism. Almighty God's Son is receiving baptism. And when he came out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open. That's a pretty violent term. Being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. What's he receiving now? He's receiving the Holy Spirit. So he's receiving baptism. He's receiving the Holy Spirit. Do we need to receive the Holy Spirit? How often? Oh, it's a continuing being open to receiving the Holy Spirit. So when he came out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open, the Spirit descending on him. He didn't do any miracles, did he, until he had received the Holy Spirit. He's modeling for us our need to receive the Holy Spirit because that's where the power comes from. And then it goes on, and a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved son. With you I'm well pleased. And now he's receiving words of love and affirmation from his father. So he's receiving baptism, he's receiving the Holy Spirit, and he's receiving words of love and affirmation from his father. If Jesus needs to receive, do we need to receive? Isn't that all what our spiritual life is about, is learning to receive from God? And then look, the Spirit, this is the next part of the Mark Gospel today. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. Pastor Nile pointed out those words of affirmation that God spoke at the Transfiguration, also spoken in his baptism. What's the timing of them? The Transfiguration was right before he was going to be crucified. And right here, it's right before he was being tempted. So he was in the wilderness 40 days. That's why we do Lent for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were doing what? Jesus needed ministry to himself. Did he call his friends to him sometimes so he would have people to pray with him at times? Did he do things with other people? Did he need to have ministry? Isn't that amazing? And then the other time, this is in the garden, when he's praying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. So here, Almighty God is receiving ministry. Is it hard for you to receive ministry? There was a couple here. It was a founding couple. Some of the folks who have been around here a long time would remember them, Jack and Jane Burton. Godly couple. Every time we had an altar call, they're up there at the rail. It's just such a beautiful example. They were open. They wanted everything that God had for them. And so we are very called by God to learn to receive. How many marriages do you think struggle, or how many marriages have ended because they refuse to ask for help? Wendy and I have a beautiful marriage, but there are times when we've received outside help and wisdom. How many people stay addicted because they refuse to receive help? They refused to open up and to get help because they're just too proud. Again, pride. That's why God is so against pride. He opposes the pride. Learning to receive requires humility. And humility that accepts things from others with real appreciation. And so we need to be open to everything the Lord has for us. Now, Jesus committed no sin, so why did he need to be baptized? Why did he need to be baptized? Here's some reasons, I believe, to affirm John the Baptist's message of our need for a Savior, to identify with us as sinners, to model humility by receiving. Wasn't the whole life of Jesus, or much of the life of Jesus, teaching us about humility, how to walk in humility, with the foot washing, saying the greatest in the kingdom are the ones that serve the most? If you exalt yourself, you'll be humbled, but if you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. So he brought with him the gift of humility, and we need to receive that gift of humility. We need to walk in the gift of humility. We need to see how important it is to be humble, to be willing to receive help, be willing to receive from others. And then I think the last reason is to point also to another baptism in which Jesus, who knew no sin, would be immersed in the sins of the world. Here's what he said later. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. What's he talking about here? The cross, right? The baptism of the cross, his death. And listen to Philippians, a very well-known passage. And being found in human form, here the Creator becomes part of his creation. He didn't even show up as a full-grown man. He showed up as a little baby. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming what? Does humility, do we need humility to obey the Lord? When we obey the Lord, we're saying, okay, we're trusting God more than we're trusting ourselves. When we disobey, what are we saying? We're trusting ourselves more than we're trusting God. We're trusting our pride more than we're trusting God. So he humbled himself by becoming obedient. How far did the obedience go? To the point of death. But not just any kind of death. What kind of death? That was the most humiliating, the most horrendous kind of way to die. Naked, stretched out on a cross, people mocking you, you've been beaten in a very public place. And so he was obedient, he humbled himself, becoming obedient, even to the point of death. And so humility is required to obey God. When we obey God, we are humbling ourselves enough to depend on God rather than ourselves. The purpose of Lent is to humbly accept our need to go deeper with our Lord. If we accept this need, we will make more time to go deeper. Please make more time this Lent to go deeper. Wednesday nights, please use our devotional booklet. Do something that's going to take you deeper. But I want to challenge you today. If you're serious about pulling out the weeds of pride, are you serious? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you your weeds of pride. You think he'll do that? Think we might even be waiting to do it? Confess to God. Pull them out. Receive forgiveness. Now, if you just get the top of the weed, do much good, right? If you don't get the roots, I think the confession part and the receiving the forgiveness, and then humble yourself and confess them to somebody you trust. Is that a humbling thing to do? You think that would help you grow in humility and closer to the Lord, just to confess? It's one thing to confess them to God, but to be willing to confess them. And I think, again, why does the Bible tell us to confess our sins to one another? You know, when you receive help from somebody, doesn't that build relationships? Isn't it interesting that what was involved in the baptism of Jesus? Was the Father involved? Was the Son involved? Was the Holy Spirit involved? That's a family, right? They were all working together as a family. And do you think it built their relationship up? I think it did. When the Father affirmed his love, when the Spirit fell, I think it was a building up. They were receiving and giving from one to another. So the Holy Trinity is like a family, loving each other, supporting each other, caring for each other. And so that's when we are baptized. How are we baptized? We're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're baptized into the name of this community. You know, it talks about one baptism. There's only one baptism that saves. There's only one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. You know what that baptism is? It's the baptism of Jesus. That's the one that saves. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are a part of our baptism. When we baptize here, they're somehow they're all working in that baptism. And so when we are willing to receive help, it builds community. A few years ago, some of you have heard this story before, there was a man here at CAST that had a couple children with him. And it's always hard to see the children at CAST. We had more than usual this last year. And this man, we had a little service. This man reached into his pocket and pulled out some coins, and he gave them to me. Now, in my younger years, do you know what I would have said? I don't need, keep it. We don't need that. You need it. And then he went into his pocket a second time and pulled out some more coins. And then he went in a third time and pulled out some more coins. It was 75 cents. It was, I don't remember. It's on my bookshelf. I still have it. I've received a gift. It was a gift. It was a humble thing to receive. And I've received that gift many times over the years, and receiving it even right now. And the wonderful thing was, the next day, they weren't there. And I said, where's that couple with the kids? They said, somebody bought them a motel room. I think there was a connection. Learning to receive is a part of building community with each other. Learning to receive connects us together. When we've been comforted, we can use that same comfort to comfort others. So if you're serious about pulling the weeds, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you your weeds of pride, confess them to God and receive forgiveness, and humble yourself, confess them to somebody you trust. Amen? Amen. Well, Father, just, Lord, begin with me, help me to deal with all the sins, the weeds of pride in my life. Help me to pull them out. Forgive me for my pride. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, just if anyone is serious about pointing out the weeds in their life here, may they take the time to do it. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that this is one of the reasons you've been given to reveal truth, to reveal the sin in our lives, that it could be pulled out and forgiven, that we could draw closer to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.